Hebrews chapter 12, and let's look at verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We'll stop our reading there. The verses say that we are involved in a race. The race is a marathon. It's not a sprint. The race is it's a metaphor of our lives. We are to run this race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, the theme tonight is going to be the importance of reading biographies in our Christian lives, especially for getting motivated and staying motivated in the Christian life. So this is our topic, the importance of reading biographies in our Christian lives. Now, the verses that are read to support this are Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Now, if you look at the title, probably the couple of key words that are important are things like reading, biographies, and Christian lives. None of those words appear in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. So my work is cut out for me. How do I find this in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2? Well, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, interestingly, come right after Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 is the chapter that makes reference to a lot of Old Testament saints. We know that. And the idea is that Hebrews 11 is connected with Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. So let's look at Hebrews 11 for a little bit. Hebrews 11, look down at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. Verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength. Look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Look down at 21. By faith, 20, sorry, I'm skipping over them. 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. And finally, 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden by his parents. Now, we could go on to read about Moses himself. We can go on to read other heroes of the faith, the walls of Jericho coming down, and so on. After all of these who had run their race well, right? By faith, they did this, and they ran with endurance, and they finished. Then we come to verse chapter 12, which starts, therefore we also, right? They ran well. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So it's clear the way chapter 12 begins, it borrows from chapter 11. It says, because they ran well, we ought to do the same. And these verses that are given that indicate what these great saints of the Old Testament did, we are not only to read the verse, but we are to recall in our minds the whole story behind the verse, right? So when we read about Moses and his refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, we remember the whole story. We remember the whole story of Abraham. We remember the whole story of him offering up Isaac, not just the quick verse. But after citing all of these great heroes, he then says, now we also, we also do this. Now, we have our race to run. I would like to tell you about a race that I ran, which I try to bring up every chance I can get, including a message. Through the week, I've been letting you know a little bit about myself in various ways. I did run a marathon in my life. Now, it was only one. I did it in the December of 2008. This was the marathon I ran, but not the same year. So don't look for me in the crowd. I'm not there. But it was interesting. Near the beginning of that year in February, I don't think I could have run down the street. I was out of shape, and even though I had run some back in high school, I was well out of shape, and I didn't plan to run a marathon. I planned to just get in shape. I was too out of shape, would get out of breath far too quickly. So I ran a little bit. It took me a long time to get up to where I could run 2 miles. And I remember I was engaged to Allie at the time, and I got up to the point where I ran 6 miles one time, and I was very happy about that and told her I ran 6 miles. We were talking on the phone. And anyway, somewhere along the line, it wiggled into my head that I might try to run a marathon. And it turns out you think marathon is so hard on the body. No. It's not hard on the body. It's hard on the mind. Training for and running a marathon is 90% mental. The other half is physical. So, yeah, that's about right. But really, it's a mental game. First of all, running a marathon is not that hard. Training for the marathon is hard. They say if you can make it to the starting line, you'll make it to the finish line. Meaning that if you can make it to the starting line, having done all of the training that is recommended, you're going to make it to the finish line. The hard part is done when you get to the starting line. The idea is you have to train and you can't quit. So the race is not the marathon. It's worse than the marathon. It's the training for the marathon, which is a lot longer than a marathon. So the way people get derailed is mental. They just can't bring their mind to tell them to go do it. So really, the whole thing about running a marathon is getting motivated and staying motivated to do the training. So how did I do that? How did I get motivated and stay motivated through the many months of hard training needed to run a marathon? And the answer was this book here. It's called The Non-Runner's Marathon Trainer. That's my book. That's it. That's The Non-Runner's Marathon Trainer. That's what I need. Now, I got this book. One of the very handy things in it was a chart that tells you how much you're supposed to run each week, and it has rest days and all of that in there. All right. The other great thing about the book is chapter by chapter, it takes you through different weeks of your training. And in every chapter, they tell you a bit of technical information, which is really boring. And then they have testimonials. Now, the three guys who wrote this book actually teach a course in Iowa. Some of you are from here. You can go to the University of Iowa and take their course. It's a fall course called the Marathon Course. It's a one-semester course. If you finish the marathon at the end of the semester, you get an A. And they've done this for like 15 years, and I think it's the University of Iowa, but it's one of the Iowa schools. All right, so they've done this all this time, and was that funny? It might not have been the University of Iowa, but it was some Iowa school. It was funny, okay. Man, I got a whole lot of these. Anyway, so they had done this for so many years, and they had a lot of students that had taken it, and they kept up with these students, and they had the students write what they were going through at different times in training. So what happens is, in week 7 or something like that, You have to do, you have one long run a week. That's how you do these moderate runs, and then you have one long run a week you do either Saturday or Sunday or something. So, you know, then they, so they're writing in there, you know, it was week, you know, 7, and my long run had to be this many miles, and I didn't want to go because it was raining outside, and, you know, I just was telling myself not to go, but then I said, you know what, I need to get out and do, you know, they go through all the things that you're going through in your head, and then they say, I went out and finally got out there, and it was terrible for the first mile and a half, but then I got into the zone, and it was actually the best run I had, and, you know, people were looking at me funny because I was out in the rain running and smiling about it, and I didn't care because I was feeling good and all of this. And you read these testimonials of what happened to people, and that's what got me through. It's like, yeah, they did it. They went out there, and they went through to the end. I can do it. I can get out there and do it. And it's human nature is what it is. We need to see others do it. And having done it, it inspires us, and we say, I'm going to go too. And this is what Hebrews 11 and 12 is doing. Hebrews 11, look, this one did it. This one conquered. This one had faith to do it. This one came through. And now we also have a race to run. And the motivation that is given in Hebrews 11 for leading up into Hebrews 12 is the testimonies of people who have gone on before. So the importance of testimonials to the motivation for others to run the race, that's what Hebrews 11 is to the beginning of Hebrews 12 that encourages us to run the race. So therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I can skip over this next part if you want. It's more like a just a kind of a side thing. Do the witnesses really see us? Is this what this great cloud of witnesses? I'm a little off topic now. I think why not, right? The Lord says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And in Acts 7:55, Stephen was able to look into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, if Stephen on earth could see into heaven, why can't a believer in heaven see onto earth? So you can keep those things in mind. All right, back to our being motivated. The scriptures are clearly indicating that we can and should be motivated by the biographies of believers recorded in the Bible. That's clear from what we've been looking at in Hebrews 11. Now, is there any scriptural evidence that we should also look to more contemporary believers for motivation? And I started saying it's good to read biographies. Do we just read the biographies that are in the Bible? Well, there is indication. Hebrews 13:7 says this, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So the verse is telling us, looking to others that are contemporary, those who rule over you, I take it maybe the elders of an assembly they're talking about, these have taught you, and you look at their lives and you consider how they finished, the outcome of their conduct, and say, they did it. I can do that too. I can follow that as well. Hebrews 6:12 says this, that you do not become sluggish. This is the whole idea of motivation. That you don't lose your motivation, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Wherever you can find them. Philippians 3:17, brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, wherever you may find them, as you have us for a pattern. So the question then, do we have scriptural evidence that we should also look to more contemporary believers since the time of the Bible for motivation in how they lived their life and endured and ran the race? The answer is yes. We have three verses anyway. One of them looks like it's barely running off the screen. No, it just says a pattern. That's it. That's all there is at the bottom. Have us for a pattern. All right. But yeah, we're to look to believers who've gone on and run the race. It's something that helps us in our motivation. It helped me in my motivation to train for the marathon. By the way, I didn't run very fast, lest you think this is like I'm really trying to get this out there in any serious way. I made my target time, but that's the whole fun about a marathon. You pick your target time as slow as you want, and then you tell people, I made my target time. And they're good, all right, it's wonderful. So I made my target time. There we are, that's it. Yeah. So what do you do if you're not inclined to be a reader? That's me, by the way. People don't believe it when I tell it to them, but it's true. I'm going to prove it to you. Here's a biography that I kind of read. Now... You have to realize what I mean by this. This is called Peace Child. Many of you no doubt have read it. I guess I can tell there are several believers here from Northside. It was Brother Will that gave me the book. Here, brother, you might want to read this. Well, I like them, but I don't read so much. What do I tell them? You know, so it's like, okay, thank you. Now I'm stuck. Because if I didn't like the guy, it would be fine. I could just put the book down and not worry about it. But I like him too much. So now I've got to do something with it. So I'm such a non-reader that what I did was I went onto Amazon and found CDs of the book being read. I bought the CDs, and then I think the word is ripped them onto a player. Anyway, whatever the word is, I put them on an MP3 player. I converted them to MP3s, got them on a little MP3 player. And then while I go out and run, I listen to it. And I actually got into it. It was a really good book, and I got to the end. And I think I can legally say I read it, probably. But anyway, but I really enjoyed the book. And then I told Brother Will I liked the book. He gave me another one. But anyway, so... Anyway, a movie was actually made about it. Don't watch the movie. For once in my life, I can say the book was so much better than the movie. Honestly, don't watch the movie. But that's actually him, Don Richardson. He actually is in this very short movie about this story, Peace Child. But it's a terrible movie. Just read the book. It's really good. And he goes out into a land... These people have never heard the gospel. These people have never even seen a man that looks like Don Richardson. He goes out with his family. I better not attempt it. I'll end up getting it wrong in terms of, I thought I could tell you exactly where he was, and I think I can, but I might get it wrong. So, all right, we go on. So these people, well, they were an interesting people, savages they were. They liked to eat each other. That was, you know, very normal in society. But, you know, if in their society, if you go and kill someone and eat them, well, that's not really looked upon favorably. What really is looked upon highly is if you gain their trust and they become your friend and they trust you, and then you use that trust against them to kill them and then eat them. Now that is something worthy of praise in their society. This is what this guy was up against. It took him so long just to learn their language. He finally learned their language well enough to communicate to them and started teaching them the Bible. He got to the part of Judas, and they were beating their chest and howling in praise of Judas, because Judas was the friend of the Lord Jesus, and yet he turned it, you know, he stabbed him in the back, so to speak. And so he's like, no, this isn't good. No. But in their society, that was a good thing. Now, I'm not giving anything away, by the way. I'm not ruining the book for anybody. But it turns out that also in this strange culture, they had a custom called Peace Child. And what that means, you can read the book to find out. But Don Richardson was able to use this custom that they had in their culture to communicate the gospel in the way that they would understand. Many of them were saved, as a result of those efforts. A wonderful book. Wonderful book, and it makes us think about the fact that here is a man who denied himself. He went out of the creature comforts of home. He went into a land. You get the life he had to live out there, and it motivates you. Now, it doesn't necessarily motivate you to go to the same place and live the exact same way, but it motivates you in the sense of doing smaller things for the Lord, and when we get uncomfortable, we say, it's okay. I've just been reading about Don Richardson. Look what he did. I can do this. It's fine. Our brother mentioned the book Agape Leadership. This is a similar, a book about the same person that Agape Leadership is about. It's the life of Robert Chapman. And our brother has already said some nice things about him. People call him the saintliest man that they've ever met, the most Christ-like man they've ever met. You have to imagine this is a gentle, kind, loving man. Here's his picture. You'd never believe it, right? You look at that. He looks like he's going to bark at you or something. But the look is deceiving because it really is true. And you don't have to read very much of the book to find out that he was such a Christ-like man. When I read it, I've read it more than once, but when I read it, I won't read more than a chapter at a time. And the reason is, I like the book so much that I don't want the book to end. And it's not that long of a book. So I don't want it to end. So I'm like, I'm loving the book, and I want to keep reading. And I'm like, no, I can't keep reading because it will end too soon. I must read only one chapter and then read another chapter later because I don't want the book to end. Now, it used to be very pricey, and this is, I don't know why I have the word new here. It used to be $85 used. It used to be $85 used. But now, and we cannot see it unless you read off the wall, but it is now reprinted at Gospel Folio Press. You can get it for a very reasonable sum of money. There is Fox's Book of Martyrs, a collection of stories. Don't worry, I won't tell you how they end. Oops. Thank you. Oh, thank you, brother. That I see it. I see it right there at the edge. Thank you. Wonderful. We got. Yep. Sometimes we just need somebody to just fix the problem. All right. You can actually find this in PDF. Don't be afraid of its size, right? Don't be afraid of its size. It's individual stories. Okay, so you can just read one. There might even be a shorter version, and it's available free in PDF if you do a Google search for it. Now, I want to talk about this one a little bit. Now, I'm not talking particularly about Amy Carmichael. I'm talking about the fact that for one hero in days gone by, you can have more than one biography, right? So here are two examples, and this one is written by Elizabeth Elliot, and this one is written by a married couple, Janet and Jeff Binge. I'm probably mispronouncing their name, but anyway. I have not read the one by Elizabeth Elliot. I'm sure it's fine. Sure it's a good book, but it's probably written at a higher reading level than the one on the right. The one on the right is a part of a series, and this series, they are written, they say, for ages 10 to 100. They are excellently written. You can't put them down. I went on a reading binge. Now, do you remember who I am? I'm the guy who hates to read. I am the guy who went out of his way and spent his money. The guy who is normally quite miserly with that kind of stuff spends his money to get a CDs of a book to be read to him just so he wouldn't have to read. And I went on a reading binge because these books, they're a series of them, they are written for people with a lower education level than a PhD in mathematics. But it doesn't matter. They're right when they say ages 10 to 100, because even though they can be read by someone with a more limited vocabulary, they actually are quite gripping for anybody. And I love them. All of these heroes of the faith that you hear about, and I never knew their story except, you know, hearing a blip here or there because I didn't want to read. I'd get these boring books to read, and I would never read them. These are different. You start them, they're written very easily. And you young people that are here, you can read these. You can read these. They're not that bad reading. And once you start, you can't stop. They write them so well. If you don't know where to start in this series, there's a sister named Gladys Alward. Many of you know her. She went to China. She's the sister who tried to go with China Inland Missions and went to the China Inland Missions School and got rejected. Sorry, you're not good enough to go with China Inland Missions. Now, go back home, little girl, and do your thing at home. Go help somebody. Get them a sandwich. She ended up going, she said, well, I guess the Lord wants me to go to China alone. She did this, and you read her story. She did more than most any missionary has ever done in China. It's just amazing what God did with her in China. Gladys Alward, a part of this series. And again, there are other biographies of her. I like the one in this series the best. Now, to give you an idea, and I get these on Kindle. You don't know it, but this phone is full of these. They're popping out of the sides of the case. That's how much I have on here. So I liked it so much, and Allie and I were talking about them, and we were going on a plane ride. The plane ride lasted 3 or 4 hours or something like that. So Allie thinks, well, you talk about this book enough, I think I'm going to read it myself. She may have already read it. I don't remember. But anyway, she says, well, I'll read it. So she starts before we get on the plane, and you know what happens. All you need to do is start. She wouldn't put it down. By the time the plane landed, she ended the book. She says, wow, that really was good. And she wouldn't stop. They're wonderful. Now, this is important. I recommend this series on the right. The top of it says Christian Heroes Then and Now. Christian Heroes Then and Now. That's the name of the series. And they have all kinds of heroes of the Christian faith in them. You can find them on Amazon. You can download them as Kindle form. You can do what they're great. They're great books. And like I said, I went on a binge for about a year of reading these, and I have dozens of titles of them in my phone. And if a guy who doesn't like reading can do this, so can you. Now, don't do to our young people what was done to me. There was a brother in our assembly at home some number of years ago who got the same idea. Now, our brother Will, he did it right. He gives me a book that's actually really good. As long as you start it, you're going to get sucked in and you'll read the rest of it. This brother at my home assembly some number of years ago gave me a book of a certain missionary. And you know, you get it and you're like, okay. So I don't want to admit to him that I'm so reluctant to read anything. Say, don't take it personal. I do it with everybody. I'm just very reluctant to read things. So I asked him, I said, I don't have that much time to read. I can only read one book. Is this one the best? I want the best. Give me, you know, don't say, okay, here's a couple to get you started and then hold back for the best ones later. I said, I need your best. He said, that is it. That's the one I gave you is the one. I said, well, okay, that's what I wanted to hear. All right, well, thank you. So I go, I mean, this is it. I honestly tried. I did. I read it. I don't think I made it past a third of it. And that I made it a third of the way, I should have a medal for. Because it was so, and when I say bad, I don't mean the content was bad. I'm sure it was very good content. But in the sense that it did not grip me and pull me in. I didn't get interested in it at all. And this was the number one book that this guy would have for me. Don't do that to your young people in your assembly. If you're going to encourage them to read a book, you make sure it's one that is so gripping that when they start it, they can't stop. Because we want to launch them in a direction of reading more. These biographies are helpful to us to get motivated and stay motivated in the Christian life. This series is a good one. I think I read only one book in this series that I read and said, man, what happened to this couple on this book? It was hard to get through. But it was only one out of dozens, literally. They are very, very good writers, so I highly recommend that. Let's see. A little more modern ones. I put that up before somebody said they read it, and it didn't do it for them, so I better not talk too much about it. All right. I don't know what you want to read, but the Christian Heroes Then and Now series would be at the top of the list. So whatever I have here, hold off before you jump in there and start trying to read these. Christian Heroes Then and Now, because they have books on a lot of these people. They have books on Amy Carmichael, on Hudson Taylor, on George Mueller. They have the book on Gladys Alward, which isn't up here, but which is one that I very highly recommend. Here's just some of them. But, your list might be better. You can get biographies. But you can also look to the lives of Christian workers today. Talk to Christian workers and missionaries. Back in Pennsylvania. Somebody came back from a mission endeavor for a few months, and he's talking about what was going on. That's great. Get to know them. When you hear them come to your assembly, try to talk to them. Don't let the older ones have all the fellowship. Typically, you get a group, you have families, older ones, younger ones. Somebody comes and talks about being a missionary somewhere. And after the meeting, the young people go out to the back to play basketball, and the old people talk to the missionary. Let's not be like that. You young people, talk to the missionary and ask them weird questions, or just ask them, how did you go from being a person living in the U.S. to deciding you were going to go to the mission field? That's a great question to ask. And let them talk about how the Lord influenced them and led them to eventually go. I took this picture because there's Larry Price there. And here are young people around the table talking to him, having fellowship with him. That's what I'm talking about. Don't let the older ones have all the fellowship. Read testimonies, too. Here's a testimony of a guy. This is his prison intake picture. His name is Mitch Zajac. That's not what he looks like today. That's what he looks like today. And this gives you an idea of how tall he is. That's me standing next to him. But God took him from having a criminal life, a drug-filled life, an awful life. He would have been dead within a year or two from when he got saved if he didn't get saved. And it talks about how he got saved in his testimony. Wonderful testimony. There's that Charlie Colson testimony. That's a wonderful one as well. So what are our action items from this message? We have biblical evidence that reading biographies are appropriate for getting motivated and staying motivated in the Christian life. So I would suggest that you decide today what biography you're going to read next. Figure out within 2 days how the book will be acquired. So we're going to be going home soon, so you can figure out soon how you're going to get the book. And then when you get the book, the hardest thing to do is what? Start. So within 2 days of getting the book, read about an hour if you can. And if all goes well, you won't need a fourth point. The interest and momentum will have built to carry you on through the end of the book, right? And repeat above process. Okay, so it's been a help to me. And you young people here, get those biographies, maybe in that series. I really recommend it highly. They're very well written. They're captivating. You can't put them down kind of thing. And see how the Lord worked through other believers. And you know what my favorite ones are? My favorite ones are the ones that start off with the person saying, I knew I would never be a missionary for God. They're the best ones, because now you want to see how God maneuvered things to cause them to go to the mission field. They're wonderful, and they help us, and they say, you know what? Therefore, we also. They help motivate us. Our Father, we thank you for the saints that have gone on before and the ones living today that we can look up to. We thank you for those heroes in the Old Testament. Father, we don't seek to be like them as much as we seek to imitate their being like Christ. For he is the one we ultimately look to. And we pray if there are other believers that can help us get motivated and stay motivated in our Christian walk, we pray that we would use them. And that these people and these biographies would not replace the Bible, but that they would just spur us on to help us in this race that we are in. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.